up at number 15. We talked about the invisibility of God. We talked about the spirituality of God, dealing with the being and the attributes of God Himself. All right? And as we go through these and as we look at them, we're going to come down now tonight to what we refer to as the omniscience of God. How many of y'all have ever heard that phrase, the omniscience, or the omniscient God? Anybody ever heard that phrase? Okay, if you haven't, we'll tell you what it is tonight. And here's an easy way to define it. If you look at number 16 that you have in your notes, here is the definition of the omniscience of God. God fully knows Himself and all things actual and possible in one simple and eternal act. Okay? That is the omniscience of God. And it's amazing when you think about that in the God that we serve tonight. Matter of fact, take your Bibles. Now I'm going to give you all of the scripture references, and you can write these down on number 16. The first one we're going to go to is found in Job chapter 37. Job chapter 37. And at this point in time, God is going to speak to Job. And finally, after all of those episodes with his so-called friends, and Job probably at his lowest point, finally God's going to break the silence and he's going to speak to Job. And it's interesting as God is going to speak to him. Matter of fact, let's just start back up in verse 14 and let's look at verse 14, 15, and 16. Job chapter 37. All right, Job 37, verse 14, 15, and 16. Hearken unto this, or listen to this, Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Do you know when God disposed them and caused the light of His cloud to shine? Verse 16, do you know the balancings of the clouds, the wondrous works of Him? And this is where you ought to underline this next part, which is perfect in knowledge. It's perfect in knowledge. That's who He is. The all-knowing God that we know and serve today. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8 and verse 9. Chapter 42, verse 8 and verse 9. God fully knows Himself in all things, actual and possible in one simple and eternal act. Right? Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8 and verse 9. I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, and you ought to underline this, before they spring forth, I tell you of them. All right? The omniscience of God. Now let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter 6. We use this one a lot. This is one of those verses that we use an awful lot today. All right? Jesus speaking here, of course, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 8. Notice what He says. Be not you therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of. When? Before you ask Him. He already knows. Isn't that great that He already knows? Before we ever come to Him and ask Him of those. Look at chapter 10. Let's go to chapter 10 and look at verse 30. Chapter 10 and verse number 30. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. That's always amazed me, that even the hairs of your head are numbered. You know, that's the God that we serve tonight. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 13. All right? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest, revealed, or open in His sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. No creature that is not open and seen in His sight and known. All right? And then finally, let's go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. And I love 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 20. And you can underline the last part of verse 20. And you get there, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. 1 John 3, 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. And He what? And He knows all things. And He knows all things. The omniscience of God. God knows. And God knows all things. All right, let's go to the next one. Not only is God omniscient, but God is also omnipotent. What we refer to as the omnipotence of God. One of His attributes. And what does that mean? That is, if you look at number 17 on your notes, the omnipotence of God is basically His power and His sovereignty. That's what the omnipotence of God is. The omnipotence of God can be defined this way, on number 18, to mean that God is able to do all of His holy will. Okay, He's able to do all of it. He controls everything. Right? All of the universe is held into place by God. Right? He's sovereign. All right? He has control over all of His creation. You know, a lot of people say, well, really? Does God have... Well, let me ask you a question. If God created it, don't you think He's got control over it? Huh? I mean, that just makes logical sense when you think about it. All right, we're going to run several again, okay? Because I want you to see this from the Word of God, not just from me. Let's go to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. And I love this. I love this part because this is where Abraham and Sarah are told that they are going to have a child. And this is the account where Sarah laughed in the tent, said, "Really?" Okay. And I love the conversation between, you know, between Abraham in this whole scenario, right? Because when you get to verse 13, look at verse 13 and verse 14. And basically, the Lord looks at Abraham and said, "Why did Sarah laugh? And why did she laugh? Saying, 'Shall I of a surety bear a child?' You know, I'm old. You know, how in the world can that be?" And I love verse 14. "Is anything too hard? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed..." Now notice what the... "At the time appointed, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah's going to have a son." It's going to happen. And let me tell you something. At the end of the day, there is only one you can praise for it, and that's God. Because it's a miracle within itself. Let's go to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. Verse 1 and verse 8. All right? Psalm 24, verse 1 and verse 8. I love verse 1. "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell in it." Guess who they belong to? They belong to the Lord. Look at verse 8. "Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. The omnipotence of God speaks of His power and His sovereignty. You see that in verse 1. His sovereignty in verse 8, you see His power, all in one chapter. All right? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. If I get to going too fast, just throw your hand up in the air, okay? Jeremiah chapter 32, and look at verse 17. Chapter 32, verse 17. I still hear some pages rustling. Jeremiah 32, 17. Our Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power, and notice, and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for you. Nothing too hard for you. Look at verse 27 of the same chapter. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? No. All right? Let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. Any of y'all will be familiar with this passage. Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. For with God, nothing. You can't expound on the word nothing. Okay? Shall be what? Impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Okay? I know a lot of people like to say, well, with the exception of one thing, God cannot lie. Okay? But the Scripture says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. That's who He is. Right? Let's go to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26. All right? Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are what? All things are possible. I mean, when you think about that one single basic truth about God, you know, why is it so often that he's generally the last one we go to when we're in the middle of circumstances or situations? All right. Let me say this, though, about the omnipotence of God. Okay? However, there is a however here. God cannot will or do anything that would deny His own character of who He is. He cannot and will not do anything that would deny His own character. And that is the omnipotence of God. Matter of fact, go to Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Mm-hmm. 27. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Okay? You just see it over and over and over in the Scripture. Okay? Given to us. Let's go a couple more books over and go to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. Okay? Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, that by two immutable things, or in other words, unchangeable, okay? That word immutable means unchangeable, that by two immutable or unchangeable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation or comfort who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Two immutable things in which God cannot lie. That's the God that we serve tonight, right? So God's exercise of power over His creation is called God's sovereignty. I know you've heard that word. We're real good at using words, and we're real good at throwing words around, okay? And if you ask folks to sit down and write out a definition of what it means when we say the sovereignty of God, okay? And basically what that means is it's the exercise of His power over all of creation. That's called the sovereignty of God. That's what that means. His exercise of rule, okay, as both sovereign or king, is both sovereign or king over all of creation. Have you ever wondered why you see the phrases King of Kings, Jehovah, okay, Elohim Adonai, the powerful one, Jehovah, Yahweh Himself, okay? All of those attributes that are assigned to God. Have you ever wondered why you see all of that in there? That's the reason why. But not only do we see His omniscience, not only do we see that He is His omnipotence, but we also see His omnipresence. And that's an interesting thing about God. God's omnipresent. Now let me define for you real carefully what that word omnipresent actually means, okay? There's some misconceptions of what that means. It means that God's just spread out all over the place. Well, hold on just a second. Just as God is unlimited or infinite with respect to time, when you think about time, He is unlimited with respect to space. You can't put God in a box. He won't fit. Okay? Matter of fact, I got into a discussion just this week with an individual about this issue and this mindset of time and God. He said, but God operates in our time. I said, no, He doesn't. God's not bound by our time. God is not bound. Let me tell you something. If you tell me that God is bound by space and time, then He can't be omnipresent, nor can He be omniscient. Nor can He be omnipotent if He is bound by those, because God is not bound by those. God does not have size or spatial dimensions at all. And we talked about this in the spirituality of God, of who He is. That's why with the discussion that Jesus had with the woman at the well, because there's coming a day when you'll not worship God in this mountain or any other mountain, but you'll only worship Him in spirit and in truth. Why? Because God's a spirit. That's who He is. Okay. He's present. Now I want you to look at number 22 in your notes, okay? Because I want you to get your hands around this, okay? He's present at every point of space with His whole being. He is present at every space with His whole being. Yet God acts differently in different places. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can try to get your arms and hands around that all you want to, but you can't. Okay? You can't. Just as He is working here one way tonight, okay, on the other side of the world, He's at work in a completely different activity, but it's still God. And God, listen, we have just as much God here as they've got over there. He's present, all of Him, okay, in every space, doesn't matter. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 14. Now notice this. He has no spatial dimensions. Okay? Now watch this. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord thy God. Okay? Not only that, but notice what? The earth also. And what? With all that there is, okay? That's in it. That's the omnipresence of God. Let's go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Verse 1 through verse 6. Psalm 139, verse 1 through verse 6. Matter of fact, you can go all the way down through verse 10, okay? And notice, this is a psalm of David. Notice what he says. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting, my uprising. You understand my thoughts afar off. You compass my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all of my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou, you know it all together. You know all of it. You've beset me behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful. Notice what he says. It's high. Listen, and here's what David, I just can't get to it. Okay? I just can't put my hands around it. To put it into David's vernacular, that's what David said. David says, I think about this, but there's no way I can get my arms around it. Okay? That's not enough. Look at verse number 7. And where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? He said, if I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, your hand, okay? There, your hand leads me, and your right hand shall hold me. You see? It doesn't matter where I go. Aren't you thankful tonight? It doesn't matter where you go, God's there. Whether you're at home, you're in the hospital, or you're at work, or you're on the road, it doesn't matter where you go. God's with you. He is there. Basically, he said, doesn't matter which direction he goes. Even in hell, he could not get away from the Spirit of God. Doesn't make any difference. What David was pointing there, it's just the magnitude of the omnipresence of God Himself. You know, it doesn't make any difference which direction you go. Okay? Because God is omnipresent. Okay? There is no place that's hid from Him. Okay? None. At all. Number 23. We should not think of God as some kind of collection of various attributes added together. It's not who He is. Try to get your hand around that one. It'll make your head hurt. Okay? He is not some kind of collection of various attributes added all together to make Him God. We must remember, number 24, we must remember that God's whole being includes all of His attributes. He is entirely loving, entirely merciful, entirely faithful, entirely just, and so on. And if that's not enough, He's entirely faithful, He's entirely good, He's entirely merciful, He's entirely full of grace, He's entirely patient, He is entirely full of peace, He is entirely righteous, He is entirely jealous, and He is also a God of wrath. The attributes of God and who He is. Number 25, every attribute of God that we find in Scripture is true of all of God's being. And we, therefore, can say that every attribute of God also qualifies every other attribute. Isn't that amazing? Huh? All right. That is correct. That was a promise that He gave. That is a promise He gave to us. So if that's not enough, His being and then His attributes, okay? What about His existence, all right? What about the existence of God? Matter of fact, on your outline, B is actually on the outline under the doctrine of theology. It's arguments for His existence. Now, let me tell you what I've done. In the notes that you have in front of you, we're going to go through and we're going to look at several. Matter of fact, one of the things that I went and did for you, I gave you the four traditional proofs, okay, that have been put together for the existence of God. But I can tell you, we're not going to get to those tonight. So you can look at them. We'll look at them in more detail. But let's start with number one, okay, of this set of notes. And we'll just kind of work our way down through. How do we know